Hi, I'm Liz Larson.
And I'm Bill McKenna. We're the hosts of the New Life Perspectives radio show.
We're also the creators of the Cogno Movement System, where we help you rewire your nervous system so you can rewire your reality.
Join us each week for great conversations, amazing guests, and cutting-edge information on health, consciousness, and the keys to transformation.
Whoever thought that we would get to a place where talking about aliens is completely mainstream? Today, Bill and I are going to talk about aliens. So recently, the movie Disclosure Day came out. Steven Spielberg, it was a big deal. There was a big lead up to it. But the difference about this movie than others is the way it was marketed. Steven Spielberg said, "I know this is real." So he wasn't talking about a sci-fi movie, even though it was a sci-fi movie. He was saying, "I'm going to show you something that I personally know to be true," which was very interesting. And there were mixed reviews about this movie. And Bill and I have our own reviews. So you saw it, right, Bill?
I did, yeah.
What did you think?
Gosh, I mean, I had a lot of thoughts about it. That particular movie, I felt was interesting in that it was kind of the going public about all of these, what I would call, you know, special abilities, right? That, you know, that somebody could cause another person to see them in a certain way, or they would know exactly what the person needed to help them, and also be able to do things in perfect timing, moment by moment. You know, different things like that are these well documented special abilities in Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, written thousands of years ago. He had not only written about each one of them, but he would actually have a how-to. So they're basically kind of natural abilities that show up for most people just randomly and automatically without trying, as their consciousness or their energy reaches a certain level. So
yeah,
it's interesting.
Yeah. In some ways, the movie is kind of a mess because it hits on all kinds of subjects. So we're not just talking about beings from another planet that are here and that the government has them. That's one topic, right?
Right.
Which is in the a UFO community, which has been around a long time. This is one of those things that since Roswell, 1948, and actually there were several incidents before that are less well known, that the government, our American government and other governments, have bodies of extraterrestrial beings, alive and dead. So that there was that one. That's big. And for a lot of people, that was kind of a new idea. If you're not in the UFO world, meaning you don't listen to UFO podcasts or read books or all of that, you may not have been introduced to that specific topic in the way it was introduced in this movie. Interesting. So there was consciousness, like you're talking about. Abilities, interesting abilities, including channeling. Channeling was a part of this movie. Beings appearing that look like animals that are not, that are actually representing themselves as something that your nervous system is not afraid of, masking something that your nervous system might be terrified of. So again, in the UFO world, this is quite common, that people who have an experience like an abduction, which was also a part of this movie, alien abduction and genetic manipulation. But so people who have had experience will often say they've had an experience with an owl. That's very common. or a deer, like they was represented in this movie. And then the person is taken. So the nervous system is calmed, and it's still a little weird for a person, but not out of the realm of the possibility. And then they're abducted onto a ship, and then there's genetic manipulation that happens. The people recognize each other. So this is another trope or theme in the UFO world of people recognizing each other from experiences on ships. So it was like, I think Steven Spielberg took everything from the UFO world and put it in one movie. So those of us who've known about this for years recognize it. Where I say it was a mess, it was for people who didn't know about that stuff at all. They didn't quite get it. They didn't get the connections. And so, but they are all connected. This is one of the themes of that we're going to talk about today is how are all of these things connected? And what might it mean for you? How can you look at it? How can you think about it? What does it mean for your everyday life? Because as the UFO themes become more public, more mainstream, it's now sort of in everyone's face to deal with and decide how they're going to deal with it in the future, right?
Back when I was a kid, it was nutcases, absolute nutcases. That's a UFO. Oh God, oh boy, they need medication. Check them into the hospital. They're seeing things. They've got a fantastical imagination. That is so not true. And for me, I was 100%, I believed 100% it wasn't true. Absolutely so untrue that if anybody brought it up, I would be like, "You're boring me. Please don't. It's just so boring because it's not true and it's unproductive. It's unproductive, not true. There's anything else to talk about but that, make-believe thing." Maybe you want to go to the movie E.T. or something. Yay. We'll have a fantasy for a few minutes and it's like, "Oh, haha, that's funny," and all that. And all of that really changed for me when I went through the school. It was an offshoot of they call it the Berkeley Psychic Institute, and it's like going to college. There's a different subject every week, and you go and you learn the techniques that week, and it goes on for a couple years. So it's like getting a PhD. You're in this whole realm of psychic phenomenon and that sort of thing, because you're getting trained up in the different areas and different techniques to use, and you try it out for the week and then you move on to the next subject. Well, when I went through the training, part of that training was around UFOs and aliens, and I was like, "Oh my God, I want to skip this week. It's so boring." And I didn't do the class. I mean, I went to the class and I sat there and I really half-heartedly at best did the exercises. I was just, "Ah, whatever, you're boring me." And then fast forward years later, after I'd been through all the programs and yada yada, they asked me, "Hey, will you consider becoming a teacher, and teach the curriculum?" And I was like, "Okay, I'll do that." And so now I had to teach it authentically. I had to go through every class. I had to prepare. I had to do it. I had to know BS. I got to know the curriculum and really engage with it. I did it. And when I got to that UFO thing, that week, because I was the people in the curriculum, I had to train him up. So I authentically did it. And I learned it all. I really took it seriously. And I ended up doing the class. That night, the classes were at, basically, I don't know, 5, 6 o'clock. I drive home and I, park the car. I have to park away down in the parking lot, and I have to dr walk down. I'm walking down the sidewalk home. And I can't even, I'm noticing, it was over La Jolla, California. The way my view was walking down the sidewalk, I saw a light, and the light was sporadic. It was it I thought I'm a helicopter pilot, and I'm also a fixed wing pilot, and I was friends with the guys in the police units that have they call it night sun. They're in the same hangar as me. And so they have this big, huge flashlight, if you will, that can, it's really great. I really wanted to get one because you can spotlight stuff so great from the air. But I'm watching this light. It's maybe, I don't know, 1,000 feet over off the surface. And, but it's erratic. And it's kind of jumping around. And I'm like, is that a plane on final that I'm from this angle that it's in turbulence? Is this a, is that the night sun that I'm seeing? I'm trying to, I'm walking along and I'm like, God, that's, I wonder, okay, what is it? Walking along, and then all of the sudden, it is like almost as fast as a bullet. I have never seen rockets or anything. It did kind of a J. It was kind of a J. It kind of descended. It turned a different color, and it was like it was kind of a white, and then it went green and blue and orange and green. It just changed colors and bam, zip, it went to outer space, and I was like, oh my God, oh my God. There's nothing on this planet that does that. And anyway, I was like, well, I guess that explains a few things. And I couldn't believe, that, before that it was real until I got to see one. And then it's like, oh, okay, it's real. There's more going on.
And actually, that makes perfect sense because our bodies, our nervous system, a thing called a reticular activating system, and it's as part of our limbic system, our automations that happen in the body, autonomic nervous system, actually will disallow certain information. It will shut down. And then when you're taken through like your class, you're taken through the class, you have to teach it, you have to genuinely teach it. There's this awareness that happens, and the nervous system's like, oh, I guess that's okay. It's okay. It's fine. And then the next thing you know, your eyes are literally allowed to take in that information and experience it for what it is. The truth is, you may have seen it 1,000 times before that and disregarded it as something else. So once the body's like, okay, all right, I'm okay with it, then the eyes allow the eyes through the brain allows you to see what is really there all the time. And I think that is true for so many things. In Iceland, they have a big belief in fairies, also in the in Ireland and even Scotland, and that's a regular everyday part of their life. They will witness and experience something like that. In our cultures, we don't really have that experience because we're not looking for it. We're not prepared for that. Native Americans, the Maori, indigenous people around the world have a full active life with what they call sky people, right? Sky people. If we think about it, everybody, prepare for what I'm about to say next. All of our gods, every god that there is that anyone has ever worshipped comes from the sky. They just do. Sky people. you could equate them with aliens. And so it's an idea that in our modern world, beings that live on another planet became stupid and ridiculous. So we stopped having the ability to interact with that. It might be that simple. And where you live, Bill, A Tear in the Sky was filmed right in that area where people literally saw what you're describing dropping out of the sky and into the ocean. One of the Tic Tacs was actually seen in that area. A lot of the naval stories that are coming out and being released to Congress right now in the world come from the San Diego area. Just north of that, the Battle of Los Angeles happened, where some big ship came out of the ocean and, there was like a war, except for it was only our side shooting, right?
Right.
So much of that is there, but how much of it is around us all the time and we just are not allowed to see it? Our own bodies are like, nope, that's not real. So we don't take it in, we don't experience it for what it is. All right, let's take our very first break. And when we come back, we'll talk about this a little deeper about how your level of awareness, your consciousness, has everything to do with how you do interact with things like aliens, things like fairies, things like maybe even ghosts. How are they all connected? We'll be right back. We'll hear from the good folks at the UK Health Radio Network.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And we're back. We're talking about aliens. We're just doing it. We're going for it. We're talking about the Steven Spielberg movie, Disclosure Day, and how many themes that were in that movie that are all connected. That if you're outside of even the spiritual world, the UFO world, you don't know about these things. And they were disconnected for people who watched the movie. For us, we're like, oh, yeah. I see all of that. I know how all of that's connected. So that's part of why Bill and I want to talk about this today, is to kind of help people understand how it is connected and how physical it might actually be. So unlike you, I always thought there were aliens, which is weird because my dad thought aliens were the most ridiculous thing ever because of religion.
Really?
That's just a stupid, stupid thing. Like, just ridiculous. My mom never really talked about it, but she'd had some weird stuff happen in her life. But for me, it always made the most sense. And here's why. Let's talk about the physicality of it. If you were to go out right now and dig the dirt out in the sidewalk, between the crack in the sidewalk, right? Where sometimes little plants grow, and you would put it under the microscope, there would be thousands of life forms in there. thousands, you know, bacteria, things that, you know, little animals that you can't see, right? Seeds of plants that are microscopic before they sprout. Like in that, if it were one teaspoon, thousands of organisms, right? And also in our lifetime, but with the advent of the microscope and microscopes that are very, very powerful, we've become aware of life that exists right under our nose. There's microscopic little animals on our skin every day, in our eyelashes. Like, that's disgusting, but it is true.
I might.
It's said that we're made up of like 90% bacteria ourselves, which are beings. They're life forms. They have life. They can live. They can die. And so for me, the idea that there wouldn't, that wouldn't continue on a macroscopic and a microscopic level everywhere, why beyond the boundary of this little planet would there not, the universe not be absolutely teeming with life in the same way? We go off-road a lot. We go out in the woods, and we just did that on Sunday, and we're going through these deep forests, and my mind goes weird places. I was thinking about the life that exists just in one tree. There's like a whole civilization that lives in one tree, right? There are fungi, there are bugs of every kind, there are microbes, there are even viruses. There's the tree itself, and so many, there's a universe in one tree, standing somewhere in the middle of that forest, one tree. We are the alien to those beings, to that universe. And we have the ability to destroy or nurture that universe. We're the alien. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't that exist on a greater and greater and greater scale? So when Ancient Aliens came out, which I think was 2010, but don't quote me on that. And they started to connect the dots of all across known history, where the idea of beings from another planet that have higher technology than we do helped create society. I'm like, ding, ding, ding. That makes most sense. Perfect sense.
So very interesting. Very interesting. You know, I was wondering, just a thought right along the same lines. This year I have a garden, and the garden is doing really good. But I was thinking about all of the different wonderful, we got a watermelon, we got a cucumber, we got passion fruit, we got lemons, lemon, lime, and orange. But my thought was around how did it all get here? How did it all get here? You know, there's evolution and that sort of thing, but you know, the evidence around DNA type manipulations that we now know, you know, scientifically, of these spontaneous DNA things showing up, changes in our structure. My thought was, you know, if you were kind of like us, right, you know, like, oh, look, there's this island, and, you know, I want to make a paradise over there. I'm going to take all these, you know, these trees and these, you know, have a garden over there. I'm going to take seeds from somewhere else, meaning, you know, and put them there and, you know, water them up and, you know, that sort of thing, and make something nice. And why wouldn't or couldn't that be where some other being from somewhere else was like, you know what, would be nice as a cow. You know what, we're going to put some cows over there and they're going to make milk, and that's just going to be awesome. Okay. And then we'll also, well, we're definitely going to need some lettuce, you know, definitely going to need that, you know, and wow, the fish, you know, it's always nice. Shrimp, you know, all these different things, the bugs, all the different things. It's so complex and so interwoven. You know, you need the bees for the cucumbers, You know, so we're gonna need some bees, and then we're gonna, you know, how did that all fit together so beautifully? And could it be that we got some help?
Well, and that's where another theme of the movie was religion. That's where religion comes in, because the answer for people who are in mainstream religion will be, well, because God, right? Because God created all the things, right? But exactly like you're saying, each thing, your garden, each plant, each pot, it's its own whole system, right? It's its own whole little universe, right? And then let's say there's tomatoes, but there's limitless kinds of tomatoes, right? So in the books Journey of Souls and Destiny of Souls, which were two huge books for me early on, they talk about people, it's past life regression. These are just case studies. That's all it is. And so this doctor, he would take people in past life regression, and he did it because it seemed like it helped people. He didn't really believe in like past lives or any of that. But what happened was that they started to talk about what happened when they were not here on this planet, between lives, life between lives. There's other books about this too. But it's fascinating what people say. And what formulated in my mind was that we are infinitely creative ourselves, right? We create everything. We create stories, we create books, we create movies, we create gardens, we create weird art, we create clothes. Like, we are constantly creating worlds ourselves, right? So in these books, they actually talk about the thing that you're doing, the evolution of your own being, soul, if you like, is ultimately becoming creators of worlds. And you can see it. I could see it in the variety of things that are created. If you look at the platypus, just why? Why? Right? If you look at the weird stuff that is in the ocean, just why? Right? For fun. Why do we create the weird stuff that we create? That is the nature of the existence we have. There's this energy that runs through everything, and what it allows for is ultimate expression, ultimate creation. So every kind of everything comes out of this urge to for creation. So people that don't look like us, that actually come from other places, they're going to have that same creativity. They're going to have that same desire to, let's see what happens if I do this. Let's add that. Let's add the other thing. Let's do this thing, right? I heard recently about people who are mainlining basically DMT. And I thought to
Oh,
myself,
God.
why in the world would anyone want to do that to see what happens next? We want to know what happens next. So why would people from other planets not be exactly the same, wanting to know what happens next, right? What if we help these people, just like your garden? What if we add some fertilizer? What if we add some potash? What if we water more? What if we water less? What if we give shade? What if we don't? Like, you're doing it in your garden every day. You're creating and nurturing a garden and deciding what happens next in that universe, right? So why would we not have that on more macro and more micro scales, you know? Moving so that is my philosophy around this. And I think where it's all connected is that thread of experience and creation. And so that speaks to our consciousness, you know, it speaks to our belief system, it speaks to our awareness, it speaks to energy. For me, that's how it all wraps up really nicely into one little bow.
Isn't that it's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating. And you know, one of the things I think that supports it, you know, there was a tremendous piece of wisdom that was once given me, and it was, if you're ever confused, forget everything they say and look only at what they do.
Yeah.
And that helps me immensely to unconfuse myself. And when I think about aliens and that sort of things and abductions and what have yous, you know, there's some outliers, but for the most part, a person is taken, something happens, and they end up back in their bed.
Mm-hmm.
They end up back in that same place. Now, with the type of technology that the government has released, that we've witnessed, technology that's inconceivable given our current physics and understanding of how things work. If they wanted to, in an instant, they could take over anything. They have technology to freeze a person in time and space, alter time and actually alter and freeze time, take a person and put them back. You know, it's way beyond, you know, our abilities. And so I guess my feeling on it is I'm not really afraid of it, and the postulating that, oh my God, they're violating our airspace and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and those sorts of things. My thought is that, well, absolutely, yes, they are violating our airspace, and absolutely they shut down nukes and all those things. But I think that they don't have bad intentions is what I'm that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that brings up the topic service to others, service to self. But if you think about your house, you have a child, right?
Mm-hmm.
Her room is her space. But you are the owner of that house, the creator of that child, and you're the boss.
Mm-hmm.
So if she's doing something in her space that is not acceptable, you go in and you take it out.
Starting a fire. You know, there's no playing with, there's no playing with matches.
Right.
You don't get to play with matches in the house.
Yeah. So if these are really parents, in a way, our progenitors, I mean, that's a possibility and it's one theory. Of course, they're going to be like, no, you can't blow up the planet. All right, let's take our next break. And when we come back, we'll explore this just a little bit more. Service to others, service to self, and whether these beings, if that's what they are good or bad, right or wrong. So let's hear from the good folks at the UK Health Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
All right, guys, we're talking about aliens. We're talking about Disclosure Day, Steven Spielberg's alien movie. And we've gotten a little deep here, but we're talking about whether or not they're good, whether or not they're bad. There are some people who believe they're demons. You know, you have to consider, well, what is a demon if it's not something other than physical beings on this planet? So still a form of aliens. But you were talking about whether or not we should be afraid. And we were talking about them violating our space. But what if that's not it at all? Mm-hmm. What if the Sumerian texts that talk about the Anunnaki, they're people from another planet, just more advanced technologically, you know, messing with DNA, right? Creating beings that can help them do what they want, which is mine gold, right? They just want help mining gold.
Yeah.
And they want people that can, are intelligent enough to do the work, but not so intelligent that they get out of line, right? Yeah. That's the whole idea of the Sumerian text and the stories of the Anunnaki. But if you, again, my macro and micro, in a house, that's what the parents do. Don't play with matches. Don't take drugs in the house, right?
Yeah.
You know, don't rip up your mattress. Don't have, you know, don't destroy things, right? We run the show. And to the kid's always like, I hate you, you're mean. Well, no, you're not. You actually just know better than that child at whatever age they are. There's these funny TikToks that are parents talking about why their kid's throwing a tantrum.
I haven't seen
the video. No, it's hilarious. And the mom's like, well, my kid's throwing a tantrum because I wouldn't let him eat the goat poop. You know, my kid's throwing a tantrum because he can't swim in the ocean. It's 40 degrees outside.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yeah.
It's those kind of things. And you think about it, like, you as the parent in that moment look like a monster because you will not allow the child to do what it wants to do because you know better. You know, what if it's that for us too? The other thing I want to point out is, like, abducting people out of their beds, possible hybridization. Have you ever heard of animal husbandry? We do the same damn thing to cows and pigs and horses and, right? We mess with their reproductive health. We drug them. We
100%.
Think about, you know, animals in labs, right?
I wish I knew the technical name of this, but there is a there's a word for this. And, you know, if you know the word for this, put it in the comments. But it is the assumption of whatever we're doing is being done to us. Meaning, if I'm experimenting with mice, you know, and doing this, that, and the other thing with mice, the assumption is that there's something also greater than me that's doing it to me. So it's a continual cascade that happens. That's the principle. And it certainly seems to be the case if you believe all of these cases of people being abducted.
Well, okay, let's talk about your garden again. You've got a tomato plant in a pot, right? The seeds have been likely manipulated, GMO'd, right? Or if they're organic, still hybridized from the original plant, right? Hybridization. We do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We're the kings and queens of it. And then you're going to decide what pot it goes in, right? You're manipulating the universe of that plant. Then you decide what chemicals go on it, right? And then it starts to grow. And your purpose is to eat it, mm-hmm. right? If you remember the work of Clive Baxter, where he hooked plants up to lie detector machines and then put them under stress of all kinds of things, those plants are reacting. They seem to have some kind of a consciousness. Well, you know it, and I know it, but you're still going to eat those tomatoes. Right? You're still going to eat that plant. And if that plant didn't produce good tomatoes, you're going to yank it out, throw it away, and start over.
Mm-hmm.
We are doing exactly the same thing. So there is this idea about service to others and service to self, and about beings doing things that don't serve us. If it were aliens and they're abducting us, right? And causing trauma and stealing babies and all that kind of thing. That it's not because they're evil, it's because they're serving their own purpose. And in their mentality, it's the right thing to do, right? We don't have a problem with you know, doing what we do to a tomato plant. And we don't have a problem doing what we're doing to animals for the most part, because it serves our greater community. And to us, it's not evil. It just helps us with our nutrition, right?
Right.
So is it evil? Well, from our perspective, yeah. From your kid's perspective, when they don't get a popsicle right before bed, you're evil. Right. But there's this higher understanding or higher knowledge. And so, again, we're doing these all the same things in every area of our lives as well, and thinking nothing of it. We're not evil. We're just serving a need of our own. However, once we become aware that it might be wrong, like a lot of the animal testing, we stop doing it. People start fighting against it, right?
Mm-hmm.
We become aware of treating things different and better. So once you know better and you do it anyway, there's a wrongness to that. But if you don't know better before that, you may just be serving a need for yourself. So, you know, I mean, that would apply again on the macro level and the micro level, you know, in orders of extremes in terms of what could be out there and what they want to do with little old Earth and us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's so interesting. So interesting that the consideration of maybe not seeing ourselves as victims, you know, but as part of the greater scheme of things, the greater life, you know, everything is connected. And in all things, could it be that what, so, you know, different people call it differently, source, God, creator, you know, that it's all. It is all.
Did you know that there's a theory out there that I heard today that there really is only one electron? Just one.
I've never heard that.
There's one electron, and within that electron exists everything else. So it's the electrical source that allows life, because, you know, your tomato plant, again, there's something that electricity runs in it. It allows for water to move and nutrients to move, right? And then there's a time when it's dead and that electron no longer exists in that plant, but it is then transferred to the bugs in the soil and all of that, right? So there's one electron, if that's true, one electrical force, then everything within it, all of its own actions are all one thing. It's connected by that one, by the movements of the one. So I thought that was super interesting. And I think that if that's true, then, you know, the plant is a part of you and you are a part of the aliens and the aliens are a part of the greater universe. And it's all one thing. So let's do what we normally do. And let's talk about, how can a person kind of get themselves around all of this, get themselves in alignment with it, maybe have an experience? So we started out by talking about that there's this reticular activating system. It allows you to see what's there, but only when your body's ready to do that, only when it's willing to allow in that information. So if a person can get their nervous system, which creates a vibration, right, into a higher vibration, meaning a different focus, a different level of consciousness, and a different ability to see what's really there, then you might be able to interact with this phenomenon, aliens, maybe ghosts, maybe other beings, the bacteria that's actually here in a new way. So what does that take? It takes getting the nervous system, the body, less focused on trauma, past events, and more focused on possibility. Because you, Bill, when you learned about the aliens, when you took the class and you were open to the possibility showed up. So I think that's true for every one of us and in every area of our life, including this one. You know, what about it makes you afraid? If you have fear in your body, that reticular activating system is shut down. and is not going to allow in that light spectrum, that vibration, that energy. But when the fear is neutralized in the nervous system itself, the body's shown, hey, this might be just like us and a tomato plant. Then that the opening is allowed. The nervous system allows that information in and allows you to process it in a way that is not fight or flight.
Yeah, it's a one of the interesting ways to look at it is we don't allow information, our nervous system doesn't allow information in that is counter to what it feels safe with or what it has identified already as truth. You know, it'll discount, it basically discounts and filters it out. And this, the easiest way to really validate this for yourself is if you have ever made a mistake, you heard something, you heard something and you assumed that this person meant this. And another person comes along and is like, no, actually, they didn't mean this. They said this. Well, I heard that they said these pants make me look fat. And they're like, no, they said that's a wonderful color, you know, of pants, you know, it's like, but you didn't hear it. I have had this happen to me multiple times where I didn't hear the truth. So, and it also is certain things that I didn't see the truth. And I went back and I was like, oh my God, look at that. And I noticed it was my assumptions, assuming of something. So anyway, it is a real phenomenon and we all experience it day to day. It really shows up strongly around certain emotions, but I know we have to, we are coming up on it, Liz.
Yeah, we're at the end of this episode. So everybody out there, I mean, this has been a lot to talk about. We'd love to continue the conversation. Reach out to us at info@cognomovement.com. And if you want to know how to start to realign your nervous system, let in more information and be able to consider things like this in a brand new way, Cognomovement Essentials Program is the way to do that. It directly accesses that part of your nervous system that controls the amount of information that comes in. All right, you guys, until next time out there, be safe and be well.
Thanks for being here with us on the New Life Perspective Radio Show. For more information or to find out more about the work that Bill and I do, please visit us at cognomovement.com or email us at info@cognomovement.com. See you again soon.